You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The National Recording Registry, part of the Library of Congress, chooses a new group of audio recordings every year that are deemed historic and worthy of preservation. This year's class includes an album by Cyndi Lauper, a speech from Bobby Kennedy, and the earliest known recordings of Yiddish music. The wax cylinders holding these Yiddish songs are housed here in Wisconsin on the UW-Madison campus. They're part of a larger collection of over 9,000 recordings capturing a wide range of the Jewish music tradition. Tom Kaw is the Music Public Services Librarian at Mills Music Library at UW-Madison. Tom, thanks a lot for coming up.
Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us about the origin of these cylinders. How were they created?
Well, these cylinder recordings were made in, we think the best guess is 1901 to 1903, recorded in New York City, actually by the Standard Phonograph Company. They were initially thought to be Lambert Company issued them in Chicago. They were thought to be Lambert. That's how they came to be known as the Lambert Yiddish cylinders. But they were recorded in New York, it turns out.
And these are recorded onto wax cylinders, which
Correct.
I think of as the Thomas Edison kind of recording.
Correct.
Talk about that technology a little
Correct. Bit. Well, it's fascinating technology that didn't stick around too long, because in all these audio engineering developments, things changed rapidly at the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century. So, yeah, I mean, Edison, there's actually some notes that I have in front of me about how Thomas Lambert created the first molded celluloid cylinders, but he's remembered largely for these garish multi-hued shadings of the ones he did. He made pink ones. So some of the ones we have are pink cylinders. They're very lovely to look at. We have photos online. But, they were Thomas Edison initially got so jealous of Lambert and his technology, he drove him out of business through a series of lawsuits.
Wow. Now, tell us what is on these cylinders. We're going to take a quick listen in a minute, but what is compiled on these cylinders?
All right. Well, on the Lambert, I'll just call them the Lambert cylinders for shorthand. On the Lambert cylinders that we have at Mills Music Library, there are a variety of types of music. There are Yiddish operatic arias, cantorial hymns, some folk songs, some broadside ballads, the kind of things that some people might have sung on street corners based on topical themes of the day.
Let's give a listen to a verse of one of these recordings.
Viele Männer lieben mir, viele hab ich hatter ihr, junge Herzlach fallen so wie Strein, Helden fallen auf die Knie.
Now, this isn't what we'd think of as modern quality sound, but I gotta say, from the medium, from the age,
right,
it sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it does. The technology is phenomenal for doing digital transfers, restoration work on these recordings. So, yeah, it is amazing how good the quality can be.
What does it take to preserve these wax cylinders? Are these a fragile medium that's hard to keep around?
Oh, yes. they need to be, well, they first of all are kept in cases, and then those cases we have in boxes. We have our cylinders housed at Mills Music Library, which is located in the basement of Memorial Library on campus. But yeah, the initial transfer of those these cylinders was done by collector historian David Giovannoni, and then the initial transfer was then cleaned up by Richard Martin of Archaeophone Records, who we partnered with to release digitized versions of them on the CD Attractive Hebrews.
Right. We played the digitized version. We
Correct.
Do not have a wax
right.
cylinder player
right.
here at Wisconsin.
We're not playing from the actual cylinder here.
Talking to Tom Cobb, Music Public Services Librarian at Mills Music Library at UW-Madison, about some of the newest entries in the National Recording Registry, wax cylinders containing Yiddish songs from over 100 years ago. They're housed at UW-Madison. All right, we talked about the technological significance here. How about the cultural significance of the recordings on these cylinders?
Yes, well, they are significant in that they are the earliest, among the earliest known recordings of Yiddish language music. And as I said before, they're most likely done between 1901 and 1903 in New York City. David Giovannoni has spent 30 years trying to track them down. And Henry Sapoznik, the former director of the Mehrin Institute for the Study of Yiddish Culture here, he connected with Giovannoni. He brought them to the attention of his friend Sherry Mehrent, who is the collector who established the Mehrent Collection of Yiddish Recordings, which is the 9,000 plus 78 RPM records that she had initially donated to us at Mills in 2010. So Henry got Sherry aware. She acquired the cylinders to be part of the Mehrent Collection. So, I mean, it's just really significant to preserve this moment, this slice of history of immigrant culture, especially in New York City, of Eastern European, primarily Ashkenazic Jews in the city.
And part of the significance of the existence of these recordings is, if I was a music publisher, producer at the time, ethnic music might not be my first choice for commercial success. So this makes this a bit more rare, right?
Right. It might not be what you would think of as the top of the hit parade, mm-hmm. say, but every company, both sheet music publishers, record companies, they were all trying to find their niche markets. And so the people from whom they drew the talent here, from the Yiddish theater, from the synagogues, from the cantorial tradition, they were coming out of this immigrant population. The companies knew they could sell and market back to the immigrant population, both in New York City and then beyond, because there were other immigrant communities in other cities in the United States.
And we've talked on the show to some of UW's ethnomusicologists and folk music historians. This has got to be, these recordings and the others have got to be a treasure trove for people in that line.
Oh, definitely. Definitely so. And it's been amazing here on our campus. As a librarian, I do instruction to help students learn how to do research in the library. There's a course that Professor Pamela Potter teaches called Yiddish Song and the Jewish Experience. And these resources are incredible to give students this entree into this world from the late 19th century through the middle of the 20th century.
Now tell us more about the collection. These are part of mostly 78 records.
Right.
What kind of, give us a sense of the range that that includes.
Oh my, it's all over the place. Sometimes it's actually, again, a lot of theater music from the Yiddish theater tradition. Some of it is, straight cantorial hymns. There are a lot of spoken comedy routines, things that came out of the theater, came out of vaudeville. I'm thinking of Abe Kabibble at the ball game, a story about a guy going to his first baseball game and trying to describe it. It's all over the place. And the time span of Sherry Mehrent's collection goes from roughly 1895 to 1955. So it goes a long way, and it goes in depth, and we have digitized these as part of our preservation effort and put them up online. People may access them freely. All of these cylinder recordings now, along with images of them, are on the University of Wisconsin-Madison Library's digital collections site. It's easily findable via Google.
And you mentioned it, this came from her collection. Why did it come here?
It's a good story. Henry Sapoznik came as a visiting artist in residence. He thought, my friend Sherry has this amazing collection. Maybe she's looking for some institutional home for it. He put her in touch with us. We talked. There were a lot of talks, a lot of documents drawn up, and she agreed to donate the collection and then set up the Mehrin Institute for Yiddish Culture as well, so that the work could be done to preserve this, put it all in context. Henry Sapoznik directed it. Scott Carter was the former assistant director. He did a lot of research on this as well, looking up all the information about the Lambert Company and getting more information for the Attractive Hebrews CD set that Archaeophone Records put out in 2016. So, it's just been a great relationship with Sherry Mehrent all along.
And as we wrap up now, as we said, these cylinders of Yiddish music from over 100 years ago, now part of the National Recording Registry. What does that mean for them?
That means that's amazing to us, because we have already done our work of preserving them. We've found value in them, of course, and now the Library of Congress has deemed them valuable enough to the nation's recorded history of sound that they are going to preserve them there as well. So lots of copies keep things safe in our world, and the fact that the Library of Congress is going to preserve them as well means more people will have access to them in perpetuity.
Thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Tom Kaws, the Music Public Services Librarian at Mills Music Library at UW-Madison. He was with us to talk about the library's recordings of early Yiddish music that recently got welcomed into the National Recording Registry.